know how important equity and sustainability are in making sure that your values align with how you're living your life. Why not your money? Why not schedule your wealth assessment today? Simply go to forethoughtplanning.com/wealth assessment to schedule yours today. Welcome to another episode of Thrive Forward, a podcast created for you, where we provide you tools, resources, and connections around your wealth, health, and mindset in order to educate and empower you into action. Hosted by yours truly, Shannon Foreman, and a production of Forethought Planning. This is so fun because I get to welcome one of my dear friends, Miss Giselle Ugardi.
Hey.
Who many of you might know or recognize her voice from local radio or her beautiful face from TV. She's always, you know, when I met her, she was a pageant girl. But Giselle and I have known each other for a long time. And man, is she crazy successful and just a overall good, grand person with a beautiful heart. Giselle is a marketing director by day, but I don't know how you find time to do all of the things to better the community that we are in. You volunteer with Special Olympics and like not just like casual volunteer, like you are uber involved in their organization. You volunteer with other nonprofits. You are just totally and then you like fly across the country to get trained by, you know, our favorite person in the world,
Brandon Bouchard.
But you've done just such amazing things with your life. Now, it hasn't always been amazing. So we'll talk about some of that tonight. Did I miss anything?
I mean, I'm sure we'll hit on it, you know, but I do think that it's worth saying that, you know, anytime that I ever have any sort of an interview or anytime that I've ever given a beautiful introduction like that, whether it's from someone I've never met before or a trusted friend, I think it's important to just acknowledge the fact that girlfriend does not have it all together. Mm-hmm. Even, you know, when you and I grew up together, I was in this pageant world and my thought was, well, I can't be a role model because, you know, I've made mistakes or I'm figuring it out or I don't know what I'm doing half the time. And now I realize, you know what, I'm actually stepping into that role of the role model because I'm not afraid to talk about all of the uncomfortable and the insecure, and I fully owned that. And I think that's what attributes to even me being able to do a handful of things is I can admit that I'm weak and I need someone else to perhaps take on a project that I don't have the time for, or I need to be able to say no so that I can make time for the things that are important to me. So
You talked a little bit about some of the obstacles that you've been through in life. How have you changed and decided to invest in yourself so that you can have solid grounding to get through those situations? Because chances are they're not over, right?
No, not at all. The quote that seriously changed my life and completely shook me, rocked my world, was the Jim Rohn quote that says, "You are the average of the five people you spend the most time with."
Absolutely agree.
And it really shook me because I'm like, oh, well, shit, you know, because you always think, well, you're the average of the people who raised you, or you're the average of, you know, who you love the most or who you aspire to be. And it's like, no. Who do you actually physically spend the most time with? Or in some cases, if it's not physically the most time with, it's who are you scrolling through? And I looked at my five and everybody looked the same, loved the same, voted the same. They were about the same age. They all had the same perspective. And honestly, you know, I think it's important that when you're looking at the average of your five, it's not about who has the most clout or who has the most money or who has the most following. But I think it should be a good, diverse group of people that perhaps they bring you up in different ways and you do the same in return. And there were maybe two people on that list who I was like, you know what, like this person brings the joy out of me. This person challenges me professionally. But everybody else, I was like, ugh, You know, like in some cases, I felt like they were bringing down my average. But in some cases, I was also looking at one relationship in particular where I'm like, he is so toxic, like horribly toxic. But not only is he bringing down my average, I bet if someone asked him, he would say that I'm bringing down his. Because we would bring out the worst in each other. And that made me go, wow, the fact that I call myself this confidence curator, the fact that I tell people to look at who they surround themselves with, and then I really took a good hard look of who I was spending the most time with, whether I liked it or not. And that is what really changed it for me and made me want to invest in myself on a personal level, on a professional level. And I think it's important to recognize that, you know, you are all things finance, but, and you speak to this a lot, investing in yourself doesn't just mean that you have to have money to do that. It doesn't mean that it doesn't mean that you're spending the money to go to a coaching program across the country. It can also mean that, you know, you are seeking a mentor, whether that mentor is someone who you want help with spiritually, professionally, emotionally. Maybe it's someone, maybe it's not even just one person. Maybe it's that you are struggling to find a healthy relationship or your marriage is struggling. And maybe you need to find a couple to look up to and surround yourself with. You really haven't had any guidance or any sort of an image in that regard. Find a mentor. That was the biggest investment that I made. And also to open myself up as a mentor. And that's what had me reaching out to Tracy Call, who's the CEO of MediaBridge Advertising. And she was this badass female that I knew a lot of people who were afraid of her because of how good of a negotiator she is. She has not only inspired me to invest in myself, you know, on that professional level, but she's realized some of the personal ways that I need to invest in myself too. She was the one who like forced me to take a vacation because she could see that I was going to burn out.
What an awesome boss.
Yeah.
She should really write a book. I feel like
she's working on it. I know.
More people in leadership that need to take a page from that. I mean, that's just such an empowering thing for somebody. When I was in a leadership positions, and that's what I would say to my team too, just from an aspect of like, you need a reset.
Yeah.
You need a reset.
And I have always been horrible at vacation and I still am, but to see her do that. And I think part of it too is because she had previously taken a sabbatical and she herself was beginning to use herself as an example. And I realized, well, wait a minute. I too need to do it, not only for myself, but for my team. Because if my team sees that I'm not taking vacation, that I'm not taking time for myself, they're not going to take it for themselves either. Mm-hmm. And I can see them deteriorating. I wonder if the way that I see them like is how they're looking at me. She also taught me to invest in myself with my team and to invest in my team. Mm-hmm. I am an achiever. I am a doer. I love being good at things. To me, if you're into Enneagrams, I am a 3. I get fulfillment from, oh girl.
I'm a 3 and a 2. So I like to achieve and I like to help people.
Yeah. So I, and that totally fits you, by the way, like so well. So I absolutely, I love being good at everything, you know, but it took her to give myself permission to not be good at everything. And to be able to say that, you know what, and like, this is even big for me to say here, that I am a really good leader. Like I can say that 1000%. Wow. The mental health of my team right now is in such a strong place, even or perhaps especially with everything going on. We didn't need to come together during this. We were already together and now we're just tighter. But one thing I had to admit to myself was when it comes to being a project manager, mm-hmm. not awesome. When it comes to being a people manager, great. When it comes to being a task manager, not so much. It is selfish for me to pretend to be good at something and to pretend to like something that I could easily pass trust off to someone else on my team.
And I never looked at it that way. I thought that it was me saying that I am weak or me saying that I don't deserve to be in this position. In actuality, it's the opposite. It's selfish. It's showing your team that you don't trust them. And honestly, one of the best things I heard, my friend Twyla said this the other day, she said, I pay people way too much to not do their jobs. And not that they weren't doing their jobs, because they absolutely were, but there's no reason why you should be doing everything if you are paying someone to do that. Yep. And you are having to do everything because they are incapable, then you need to hire someone else. Mm-hmm. And if you are doing everything because you are incapable of delegating, then you need to check yourself. Mm-hmm. And that's what I needed to do. And now we are so in line to where I can full on say, hey, girlfriend, I'm having a stressful week. I'm probably going to need some extra reminders this week. And she's like, yeah, good. Go for it. Yes. Yes. Or with her, you know, if she, cause you know, both of us occasionally struggle with anxiety. If she's having a bad morning, she's like, hey girl, I'm having a bad morning. And I've set that precedent. I think you as a leader, and this goes for your friendships, this goes for your work relationships. I know that I work in a unique work environment and that not everyone can supposedly be as transparent where they work, but you know, it's a joke, but it's totally true. From day negative one, you know, even in the interview process, even, you know, on your first day, I say, you know, here's the deal. I don't care if you are going through a breakup or if you're just feeling gassy or if you have a headache. If you aren't feeling great, I need you to tell me that.
Yes.
Not because I need to know everything going on in your life. Okay. Cause yes, I don't need to be the gossip queen. I don't need to know everything. But if I see you in the office and you look, you know, sad, burnt out, frustrated, angry, and I don't know that maybe that's just your resting face, I need to know why. And I need to know why, again, not because I need to know everything in your personal life, but if you need to lean on me, I want to take that load from you. I want to help you. You know, I don't want to have a client show up and me not know what's going on with you. I need to then say, okay, girlfriend, you know what? You're good. Go take a minute. I got this. Because I would expect the same in return.
Absolutely.
And that has been a great way to make it so that, you know, it goes both ways. I'm not just investing in you, but you're investing in me too.
You know, the aspect of you saying that not everybody in workplaces can talk about, you know, different things like anxiety that they dealt with. I was a manager at a really kind of young age, managing 120 people at 22, which provided a lot of anxiety. And I worked in a workplace where I couldn't admit that that's what was happening. And then I learned that I had to really be able to spell out my story so that I could A, be a better leader and challenge appropriately upwards. And so when I went back into finance after that leadership position and my career started to trajectorily grow and I was running a team again, I remember sitting in my interview process and I literally said, I live with anxiety. And my boss at the time was like, oh, okay. And I said, I go to therapy twice a month. I will not negotiate that. I will move client meetings. This is something that is important to me to keep so that I can continue to be successful and continue to provide for my clients and my team. And if we don't start to talk about those things, you know, like I would block it out on my calendar and I wouldn't make it private either. Like I'd make it public so that everybody could see it. And then it started this conversation in an industry that is so rigid mm-hmm. and so stressful. And so many people were hiding in the closet talking, not, you know, not understanding or labeling what it was that they were actually struggling with.
Well, and my office for doing that, because, you know, nowadays who doesn't have a therapist,
right?
You know, like my friend Tim was joking the other day and I was like, he was like, I kind of feel left out. I feel like I'm the only one in the group who doesn't have a therapist who I can talk about. But the fact that you did it before, like, I hate to say it was cool. Mainstream, and I think that it still has a stigma attached. I just want to take a pause for a second. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I just want to celebrate that, because we need to remind ourselves, like, hey, this is not how it's always been. You know, when you were 22 years old or in your mid 20s, I mean, no, like, that.
No, people thought I was crazy. I mean, people were like, okay, what's wrong with her? She's got to go to therapy. She okay? I mean,
can you handle the load of this job? Are you sure?
Yeah. Are you sure that you are able to do this? And, you know, and then I had two children, and good God, I had postpartum anxiety with my second. And like, it was like, oh, can you handle this? Can you handle this? And I'm like, no, I know my capacity. I know my capacity because now I know how to handle it. And I was able to process through those things. But there are chemicals and hormones that imbalance us at some points in time. And so we need to reset ourselves and establish great behaviors and being able to recognize where we are so that we can move forward. And that's the theme of everything that we've been talking about this week. And you've done such a great job of weaving that into everything that you've talked about thus far. As we start to kind of round this out, are there some things, like maybe a couple of things that you would want this audience to take forward?
I love that question. And I want to acknowledge something that you're so good at, which, you know, it's part of the whole forward thought, but it's the recognizing where you're at, figuring out where you want to go, and how do you close that gap, right? So one of the struggles that I've had that I now look forward to is sometimes you know where you're at, and you accept that, but you have no direction of where you want to go. Like, how do you even, my friend Aaron the other day said something so beautiful, which is, you know, right now we're in this world of the pivot. You know, you got to pivot your business. You got to pivot your messaging. You got to pivot your strategy. And she said, yeah, but how can you pivot if you don't have your foot in a solid ground?
If you don't have like spinning around, what didn't she say? It was like spinning around with no
problems
or something like that.
You know, like, how are you supposed to do that? And so I think one of the many things that I have learned is, you know, we didn't talk a ton about it, but I've hit the reset button a lot in my life, both on a personal level and a professional one, whether it was starting over when it came to relationships, you know, finding myself single again, whether I was being broken up with or the person who was doing the breaking up, or finding myself changing industries or leaving one city for another, one state for another, one side of the country to the other, or, you know, in some cases losing a job or giving up on a dream, or maybe it wasn't giving up on a dream, but it was giving up the dream because I then wanted something else. And
rewriting it.
That what?
Rewriting your dream.
Exactly. And I think one of the most beautiful things I learned is in those moments when you feel like you have lost everything and when you feel like you have nothing left, that the next place where you can go is wherever you want. You have the power to rewrite what that looks like, but you need to rewrite it and you need to step forward and you need to keep moving. Because you definitely can't go anywhere just by sitting and sulking and whatever that misery looks like. And so a practice that I do daily, but especially when I feel like I'm in that funk, whether something has happened to you or whether there is a hormonal imbalance, we all know that funk when you're like, I just don't feel like myself and I keep waking up on the wrong side of the bed or I'm not sleeping. You know, you know what that feels like. And so I have a gratitude practice that I do every single day, sometimes multiple times a day. I'll write it down. I'll set an alarm. And in those moments, I will think of one thing that I'm grateful for in or about myself, because so often I got so wrapped up in what I wanted to do. I had no idea who I was or who I wanted to be because I was such an achiever that for me, my goal was always the dollar amount or the job title or the promotion or the marriage or the relationship, you know, all that kind of thing. I would always think that gratification or happiness came from the things or the positions. So finding reasons to be grateful for myself is the first one. The second one is finding gratitude in something that is hard. Learning to make a habit out of finding gratitude in what does not go right, or what challenges you to do better, or what completely breaks your heart in those moments when you can't see what way is up, making it a practice, which then will turn it into a habit. But I was reflecting how, and you know this, a year ago, I was diagnosed with an autoimmune disease. And it was one of the most difficult.
Yeah, it was.
Several months of my life, and my whole body was breaking out in hives nonstop, from my scalp to every single female fold, to the bottoms of my feet and between my toes. And I remember when I was going through that, I was thinking, you know what? This sucks. But this reaction that I'm having is my body fighting for me. And in some cases, it's fighting against me, but it is still working for me. So I'm grateful for what my body can do. And even though I don't know what's going on or how this is going to end, I'm still grateful that it's fighting for me. And then the last thing is finding gratitude in someone else. Because my biggest regret in my career is not leaning on other people sooner. And we talked about that today with my average of five. But whether it was growing up and feeling like an outcast, or even going to another state and being in a career that not a lot of people could relate to, or even moving back, finding gratitude in someone else, whether it is someone you know or someone on your feed, or maybe it's Shannon right now, and or you know, maybe it's me, but finding gratitude in someone else. And a few reasons why I love this. One, it reminds you that you're not alone. Mm-hmm. We can feel so lonely, even right now, even if you were in a house full of kids or with your significant other, it's still, some of my loneliest periods of my life were when I was surrounded by people, but yet I'm so lacking purpose. And so finding gratitude in someone else who you're grateful for, either as an example, a support system, accountability. But then with that third one, physically reaching out to that person and saying thank you and saying I see you. Because not only is there something beautiful that happens when you are reflecting in gratitude yourself, but there is also something really magical that happens when you physically reach out and thank someone for what they have done for you. It makes you be more present. It acknowledges that there is someone else besides you in this world. And it also gives you perhaps that little nudge of possibility, because you are able to recognize it in someone else, and then perhaps you can see it in yourself.
I think that's so beautiful. And I practice gratitude every day, but something that you said, especially as an achiever, hit me like so hard. I don't do it for myself. I don't tell myself what I'm grateful for. It's all the people around me. It's everything else that's happening, but I don't recognize. And I think we all could be faulted for that sometimes too, right? Mm-hmm. Is that we don't recognize in ourselves what we're good at, because it could feel selfish to recognize that. But if we aren't our biggest cheerleaders, which I am, I mean, before we did this, was dancing in the mirror.
Good.
Somebody would have walked in on me, but it's because I knew I was going to be with you. And I was like, it should be like a dance party.
I'm bringing it.
We should have like music or something in the background.
We'll have to do it.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Thrive Forward, a podcast for you about finances, health, and mindset. Please share with somebody that you think might find this of value, as well as subscribe so you don't miss any of our episodes that we update every week for you. You can even find us on social media, on our Facebook, LinkedIn, and YouTube channels, all at Forethought Planning. Thank you again, and remember, you are always worthy of creating your wealth. The views expressed here are those of the participants and not those of Forethought Planning, Advisors Pride, or LPL Financial. All investing involves risk, including loss of principal. No strategy assures success or protects against loss. Securities are offered through LPL Financial and a member of FINRA and SIPC. Advisory services offered through Advisors Pride, an SEC registered investment advisor. LPL Financial, Advisors Pride, Forethought Planning, and the guests of the Thrive Forward podcast are separate and unaffiliated parties.